Welcome to the Rethink ELA podcast, hosted by English language arts teacher Michelle Waters. Prepare to receive strategies, products, and expert advice tailored to help teachers build social awareness, student agency, and voice in their ELA classrooms.
Welcome to the Rethink ELA podcast. I'm your host, Michelle Waters, and my guest this week is Tyreek Baker, a 21-year-old Oklahoma City media production company owner and activist. Ty has covered the Black Lives Matter protests, local law enforcement, and criminal justice issues in the summer 2020, 57th anniversary of the March on Washington. He has also collaborated with Rethink ELA to create a Time for Change writing project. Ty provided digital mentor texts to help students see how they can use their words or visual texts to make positive changes in their lives. So, stay with us and we'll hear Ty's story after the break.
When it comes to reaching students through literature, finding reliable resources is challenging. Your search is over. Rethink ELA Podcast is here to provide student-tested, research-based strategies, products, and advice. Here's your host, Michelle Waters.
Welcome back to Rethink ELA. I'm your host, Michelle Waters, and I am here with Tyreek Baker, owner of The Black Times. He's 21 years old and has recently founded this media production company that's based in Oklahoma. Tyreek, or Ty, was in the middle school where I taught several years ago, and so I remembered him through some of my students, and we recently reconnected after he started his production company, and I wanted to share his story with you. So, Ty, if you could just tell me a little bit about your journey to become a media production company owner.
First, I'd just like to say thank you so much for sharing this space with me. I really appreciate this opportunity and also all of the love and support that you've given me and the Black Times. I am eternally grateful for that. A little bit about the journey. I've always been very active in politics. Even at the middle school that you taught at when I went there, I remember I was so outraged about the dress code, and I started like a little petition to like then take to the school board or whatever, and got a bunch of students involved. It was just a whole like ordeal, and that later led to me just being very involved throughout the years of me being in the education system. So when I got in college, I kind of had a rough patch, and I had dropped out right as COVID had started, and then I had quit my job in like that April 2020. And then I was just really depressed and in a very dark, deep place. And then George Floyd had happened, and I just watched that video, and I saw him take his last breath. And I immediately just took to the streets as soon as protests like started coming in the after days. And I went out the first day, then I went out the second day, and when I looked up, I was on the ground for 28 days, you know, sleeping in the streets with activists and protesters and demonstrators and community leaders who were calling for change and action. And so I remember, I believe it was like the first week, I was interviewing Senator Anastasia Pittman at a protest that was happening, I think, in Bricktown in Harkins, at the Harkins Theater. And she had asked me, she's like, who are you with? And I was like, well, I'm not really with anybody. I'm with myself. And so that just shook me, and that question kind of just rang through my head all day. So when I got home, I was really just thinking, I was like, I love telling stories through film. I love exposing truths through film. So I don't want to sell my work to anybody else. I want to start something. You know, that's what people were out there calling for, to start something new, just to change something. So I was like, why not be an example of that and start my own company? So I was just thinking, I was like, well, what's a really cool name? And I was like, well, I want to be like the New York Times or the LA Times. And then it was like, well, the Black Times, like this is the time for the Black community to defend itself. Like, we've been at this point for so long. So it's just the journey after I came up with the name, it just has been a upscale of just amazing opportunities. And yeah, that's just a little
absolutely. And you know, you mentioned that dress code thing. I think that's how I remember you, because I remember you from back then, and I remember kind of like hearing you up and down the hallways.
Yeah. I like put it all on paper, and like Mr. Baker was like helping me like edit it and stuff, and like he was saying like, no, you should include that. I had like got like, I think like 50 signatures maybe.
Go ahead.
And then, you know, like, I think my, like, brain, like, in the next 2 weeks, like, switched to, like, what was, like, new and, like, what we were, like, a new issue that I felt like was an injustice in our middle school.
So you were hooked at that point, like, hey, what can we do to change things? Yeah. How can we make things better?
Even when I got to the high school, I got involved in the student council, and that's where I really got involved in leadership and what it means to be a leader. They have an excellent, actually outstanding leadership teacher and math teacher named Christy Cooper, who inspires literally thousands of kids to just be the best that they can be and accomplish the dreams that they have. And so it's just a lot of the things that I use today in my company myself come from the educators that I've met throughout my life in middle school and high school, including my mom. She's teaches me every day, and so on. So that's,
So it sounds like you already had an interest in activism and, like you said, an interest in telling stories. And I know that there are a lot of kids out there that have that interest, but I also know that not all of those kids necessarily have a strong mom like you did, and not all of them, you know, go to Del City High School, and not all of them have a Christy Cooper who I follow online and have for years. And, you know, she's amazing, and I wish I'd had her as a teacher myself. What were some of the specific things that your school and that your teachers did to really support your interest in media production?
I wanted, like, before high school, I mostly dabbled in, like, putting together old photos we had into like the little, I think it was like the movie maker that my mom's old laptop had. But when I got into it, my love for like making films like came once I like had gotten high school and really saw how advanced iPhone cameras had become and are. And so I remember one of the events that we organized at Del City High School was a leadership conference. And I remember I was like, well, I obviously want to showcase how diverse Del City High School is. And so I remember I had like my mom had gotten me this like hand gimbal that was like, I think, like $80. And I just remember like walking and I took it to school showing everybody, and I showed Cooper kind of like what it did. And so I just started taking footage of the school, and I was like putting together like little clips, like showcasing like how diverse our school is and all the different textures of beauties we have, and like all the, and it was awesome. And so I remember they just let me walk around the school. I struggled academically just because it's not, I couldn't do the work. It just, that didn't fill me in the sort of way that film did. And so I think they noticed that, and they kind of just let me do my, I mean, I don't want to say walk around the school and not do my work. Of course they made me do my work, but it was kind of like, well, I can see that you do this, but you have to push yourself and make sure you're taking care of your responsibilities. So I just remember walking around the halls around lunch, just taking footage and like asking people if I could video them, and then just putting something together. I put it on Facebook, and it got like 45,000 views. So I was just like,
wow.
Yeah. And so that right there, I remember that moment, I got called to the principal's office, and Ms. Hill had told me, the head principal there, she was like, you know, like your video that you posted about Del City, like got like 30,000 views at the time. I was like, what? And it was like, whoa, like that thrill that I had, that just so many people had seen something that I made. It was just like, I have to do this again.
Yes.
So it was just like that moment right there had really defined what I thought, what defined me as a filmmaker and as a journalist. And just telling stories through film has just always been a powerful way for us to connect as human beings. So
absolutely. It sounds like what the teachers and the schools did for you is notice that you had a passion for something, in this case telling stories through video, and then gave you opportunities to use that.
And it's also just the other experiences that feed into my movie making and my film editing. It's just like paging and page. I paged at the Capitol, which if people don't know what that is, it's kind of like a internship in a way for like high schoolers to get to know like the legislative process in their state. And you can intern for like a week during the legislative session here in Oklahoma. And so I did it junior year and senior year. And it's just like that experience right there was like, well, I obviously love movies, but I also love politics. And I never really knew up until this last year how I was going to tie that together. I was always just, well, my major in college was political science, but I was also like, well, I love making films and I want to learn how to do that stuff. So like, what do I do? So last year happened and it just perfectly intertwined with each other. But if I hadn't had those experiences, you know, me and my mom had hit a hard time financially junior year, and that was the first time that I was going to page, and one of the requirements is you have to wear like a suit jacket, and those are kind of expensive.
Yeah,
we did not have that money. So I remember I asked Cooper, like I told her, and she was just like, no problem, I have, she like gave me a gift card that she just like had, like I think in her car. And I was just like that moment right there, I was like, that if I couldn't have been able to afford that, I would have been able to gain that experience and get the knowledge that I have now that drives me. So it's just moments like that of educators really reaching out. And I mean, to some people that may seem like something small, but that was a huge step of opportunity to me.
Yeah. Absolutely. And, you know, my story as a writer is kind of similar in that, you know, I had teachers who recognized that I had a gift and an interest and then provided opportunities. And in my case, you know, they called me into the principal's office, you know, the first day of school, I think it was eighth grade year, and I'm freaking out all the way there wondering what in the world it is that I have managed to do to get in trouble. And come to find out, they were calling me there to tell me that they wanted me to be on yearbook staff. And if I wanted to be on yearbook staff, then they needed to get that change right now. And so I thought, okay, well, if you're going to go this far out of your way, I really don't have anything to lose. Sure.
You have to seize the moment. We only get so many in this lifetime.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, I went through that experience. I was on newspaper staff. I, you know, then majored in journalism in college and became a newspaper reporter and then, you know, did some other things. But through all that journey, like you said, you know, talking about being able to, or realizing that you could take your storytelling skills and put that with your interest in politics, you put those two things together. That's kind of what I've done with Rethink ELA, putting my writing and my teaching together. And I'm thinking that's what teachers need to learn and understand, is that we need to look at kids and figure out, you know, what their interests are and how they can tie that into their, you know, academic life and their real world life. So kind of looking at what you've said, you also mentioned, you know, the Mrs. Cooper who provided that gift card for you. So it actually, her support of you went beyond just, you know, do your work and, you know, here's a opportunity to record something. She made sure that you had that opportunity.
Oh yeah. So, and I mean, and that's just one of the moments. And I mean, there's been multiple moments that I can tell you that Cooper has helped me out and just been there for me. But there was a lot of teachers there that were just dedicated at just making sure their students had a good life or at least a good time while we were there and really tried to prepare us for the journey that was ahead of us. I mean, and I don't feel like I was prepared enough entering the real world, just because I feel like me personally, I'm the type of person, I don't get something through my head unless I experience it myself.
Right.
So it was really just like, I had this expectation of what my life needed to be like when I first got out of high school. And I just really had to learn that, you know, I don't need to know everything at the age of 18. I have a whole life ahead of me. Things are just going to come. But what I did try to tell myself with that was, you know, all the things that I learned prior to me being 18, I somewhat have to utilize that and see how I can guide myself in the now, not necessarily thinking in the future. So I would just always think about everything that I've learned from my mom, from Cooper, from other people in my life before I turned 18 and graduated high school. And I just really try to ground myself on that knowledge, not necessarily seeking knowledge that's just going to come to me with experience. So she's done a lot. And it's just
absolutely.
She continues to do that for her students, and it's, I don't know, that type of encouragement from a teacher does that. It's special.
It sounds like you're saying that your teachers have encouraged you to be a lifelong learner, not only to value what you learned in high school, but also to continue to learn and grow.
Yeah. And it's okay not to know everything. I mean, we're human beings. If we knew everything, there would be nothing to learn and grow from. So,
absolutely. So with all that said, what are some things that you would say that teachers, and English teachers in particular, can do to encourage students like you to tell your stories and work on promoting positive changes in your communities?
I think a teacher has an interesting, or an educator in general, just has an interesting perspective from a child's view, because they look up to you as someone who holds knowledge. Mm-hmm. So I feel like that sort of standard, I mean, you have to recognize that you as an educator, you have the power to influence and encourage, but also the power to destroy and dismantle a dream that could change the world. And so I think it's really important that every day you enter that classroom, you're really thinking of your students, not as a group, but also as individuals. You know, looking at the certain interests that you may see, like maybe this kid is really into art. He's not so strong in math. Maybe I can find a way to incorporate math into art and draw his attention. Maybe, and just really, really know your students. A lot of the best educators I know have that personal connection with their students and don't just see them as a number or a statistic. And I feel like that's really important to make sure that when they go home, you know, their life doesn't end. They're still learning things. They're still seeking acceptance. And so it goes a long way with walking into that classroom and knowing that you're accepted, knowing that you have a place to, knowing that you have the right to be here and learn first off, because some countries some countries don't give access to education like we do. So I feel like it's important to make sure that they utilize that and making sure that
kind of flipping that coin on to the other side, what advice would you have for students like you who maybe kind of have an idea that they like to tell stories, but you know, they haven't really kind of grown yet to where you are now? And you know, maybe they're still in high school or middle school. What advice would you have for them?
I would tell them that every single person is a storyteller. It's just about how you tell your story or tell a story. Some people tell their story through painting. Some people tell their story through creation, like inventions and stuff. I mean, you really have to figure out what fits for you in this lifetime, and don't be afraid to experiment on 1,000 different things. You know, I went from playing instruments to then sketching to painting to videography. It's just my artistry connects itself, and they're not different, but you really have to just put yourself out there and just try different things. If you come across something on the internet and you don't know what it is, take the 5 seconds to go Google it and learn something today. It's just, and also I would say to them, the internet is the most powerful tool you have right now to learn anything you want to learn. There's no limitations on what you can learn today. If you want to learn how to design t-shirts or make shoes or start a nail cut, you can literally do anything. Yes. And so it's really just about dedication and consistency. If you have something that you're passionate about, explore it. You gotta put yourself out there and make sure that your dream comes true. I mean, it's not as hard as it seems.
Absolutely. And you know, you say that, you know, the internet's very powerful, and it's powerful for us, like you said, as learners and then, you know, as consumers. But as you have shown, and as I am working on doing as well, the internet's a powerful tool for content creation and for making change, and for not only like global change or community change, but, you know, change in our own lives as well. That's something that I kind of saw and want my kids to see, is that, you know, they can use this tool in order to improve their own lives now and also in the future. And also, you know, starting now to recognize what your interests are and what your talents are and starting to grow that is so important, because when that happens, you're going to naturally gravitate to other people who are doing the same thing, which I think kind of happened here in that, you know, I saw what you were doing and I had already started an educational publishing company. And so with that connection, then, you know, we were able to work together and partner to create A Time for Change. And, you know, I've already had some teachers who've worked with that and have helped their students see that they can, you know, make changes and they can tell stories.
And what really excites me about that is that unit that we partnered on, that was in the very beginning phases of the Black Times and me covering what was going on. So, like, I'm excited for any future stuff we do, because there's just been so much that has happened between now and then. And another piece of advice that I can offer to students who want to start a company is telling them that if you have a passion, continue to do that. Don't worry about, well, I can't start a company if I only have one piece of content. Oh, I can't start a company if I don't have any content. Don't worry about that. That's going to come to you. I just continue to go out there and do what I loved. And eventually the name came to me. But not only that, I didn't start with a website. I started on Instagram and Twitter. To some people, that's like, oh, that's just social media. But no, like, oh, social media is so powerful. You can connect with activists all around the world, politicians all across the country. And so I saw that opportunity, and I just every day I told myself, you know, I'm going to follow 10 people a day. And, you know, I'm going to see what happens after 30 days. And then just people started following us, like the ACLU of Oklahoma, the Oklahoma Museum of Art, which was that I can't believe that happened. But it's just like, you don't need all the fancy stuff to start something that will last generations. You know, you just got to have that passion and dedication. And, you know, we just started our website a month ago, but our presence has been like mainly on social media, and people are now starting to know like our company's name and stuff. So you got to find out a way to do it unconventionally if you don't have those resources.
Absolutely. You know, so figure out what it is that you're wanting to do. Get started now. Even if you don't think you're ready, just get started and go for it and just grow from there. It sounds like what you're saying.
Oh, yeah. Because news is just, you know, news, there's so much out there. There's so many stories to tell. Within, like, I think the second month of, like, I think in August, I told myself, I was like, well, if I'm going to be a news source here in Oklahoma, I need to know what's happening all across the country. So yeah. I went into our Twitter and I followed a journalist in every state. I followed two news publications in every state. And then I try to follow as many House or congressmen in DC as in women as I could. And so just really knowing that, like, social media allows you to literally see all across this globe, and utilizing that and funneling that as a source of information for your news company, production company, or even just being inspired and being active, I highly recommend to people.
Well, is there anything else that you'd like to add? Anything that I've missed?
I just want to say thank you so much for all the work that you've done, even dating back to me being in middle school. I'm really grateful to you and to educators like you. Shout out to my mom. Shout out to Cooper, because y'all were brought up. I love him so much. I wouldn't be here without him. But it's thank you. I really appreciate this.
You're welcome. Thank you for listening to the Rethink ELA podcast. Remember, you can follow and support us on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and Stitcher. You can also find the writing project Ty and I created at rethinkela.com/atimeforchange.